again. Good morning. We're going to have a time again of hearing testimonies. I really enjoy testimonies. And the reason is this. When I grew up, I would read the Bible stories, but I would think, well, those were special people that God chose and used. Later, you know, when I got serious about my Christian walk and I'd hear the testimonies of others, I'd be like, wow, if God could do that through you, maybe He could do that through me. And it would inspire me to want to live a life of greater obedience, a life of greater surrender, a life of greater faith. And so at this time, as we have a number of individuals come up and share their stories, it's so that you can be inspired to want to go just a little higher in your experience. Because we don't want to go back home being the same as when we came here. At this time, I'm going to ask a number of individuals to come and take these chairs here on the side. I'd like to call up Melissa Miranda, Marlena Gonzalez, Tiffany San Martin, Robert Christostoma. You guys want to come on over to this side? Liz Rivera and Cecilia Chan. Okay, because we want to hear many testimonies and because of the limited amount of time, we're going to only give each person 2 minutes to share, but it's amazing how much you could really squeeze into 2 minutes. And after the first minute, they will be notified that they've got a minute left. And then before the last 30 seconds, they will also be notified. And so this is the way we will proceed. We'll just have a word of prayer before we share. Dear Lord, thank you for the work you're doing in our lives, Lord. The reason why we have testimonies. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through each person who will be sharing this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd minister to our hearts and inspire us. We'll begin with Tiffany San Martin.
At first, I was afraid to give my testimony, but then I remembered a text popped into my head. It's 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I recently made the commitment to follow God and give my life to Him completely back in April. I didn't lead too bad of a life by my standards back then. I loved movies a lot. And just before I really made the commitment, I had gotten really deeply into music. And I thought I was Adventist because I believed in the principles. I had known them since I was like a child, but it's not something that I really took too seriously. And I didn't really feel the need to give up the things that I had treasured in my life. My motto was kind of like, what I listen to or watch isn't any different than what everyone else is doing. Just because I listen to kind of crazy music and I read books and watch movies about wizards and like, it's the same thing. It's all a distraction, basically. So I said, why change if you guys are doing it too? If you guys are doing it too. So what I didn't realize is that that should never have held me back from being the Christian that I should have been. And my parents introduced me to a pastor that they found on YouTube, and they assured me that he was just amazing. And I watched a few of his sermons, but I was kind of apathetic to them. I would daydream on purpose, but I could tell that there was something about him. And one day I heard his sermon, The Beast from the Abyss, and I was definitely unable to ignore that one. And by the grace of God, I was able to re-examine my life and see how foolish I was to be holding on to the things of this world. I thought about it for a while, and then I made the decision. I don't want anything but Jesus. Amen. I threw away all my DVDs and all my music and everything that was holding me back. And for a while, I was going really strong. Then it started getting harder and harder. Although a wise man warned me that this would happen, that Pharaoh would try to take back what was his. I still fell into the devil's trap. Eventually, I started wondering why I made the decision in the first place. It was a constant battle, and the devil was winning. And then along came Army Bible Camp. And my father told me that Ira Myers would be there, and it was settled. I didn't know what to expect, but since I've arrived, it's been a constant blessing. It was everything I could have ever hoped for. I have gained truly so much knowledge, and I have been armed. And when I go home, things are going to be different. Amen. The devil has so many tools to deceive us today. And as the Bible says, the only way to survive is to keep our mind stayed on Christ. Amen. I have been so blessed to have met many of you and to feel and find that I'm not alone. And there are still some who want to follow the truth. And it's very encouraging. It just reinforces me to remember that when the time comes, I want Jesus to know me.
Amen. Thank you very much. Next, we'll have Liz Rivera.
Hello. I'm very nervous, so I talk a little faster. I talk fast as it is, but I talk a little faster when I'm nervous, so hopefully I'll make it in time. Listening to other people's experiences has brought me back, because what I told Brother Martin was very short. It was about how the Lord led right there. But the reason that I wanted to come is because a couple years ago, we watched my husband's sister, my sister-in-law, gave us a DVD from Escape from the Black Hole. And for a while, we didn't watch it, and we didn't, maybe one day we'll... And then this one Sabbath, we didn't go to church. We're like, oh, let's watch that, you know, and get something out of it. And we watched it, and we were just like, wow. And so then immediately we got up, and we started grabbing all of our movies, all of our music, and all of this. We were thinking Burn Party. That didn't happen. It ended up in a box. And then we moved, so that box ended up being the ottoman. So for a year, that stuff has been in there. But I was always feeling, I was raised Adventist, and my parents are, my mom went to, she studied theology in Antillean in Puerto Rico, and my dad loves it too, and they're both Bible workers, and so I've grown up with it, and it was so difficult to grow up with it and hear people, whatever church that I go to, I'm like, oh, do you know Isabel Rivera? You're Isabel Rivera's daughter, oh my goodness, yeah, your parents, this and that, and I'm just like, huh, and I'm not living it, you know, so it's like, yes, it's very, very embarrassing. And I had a car accident. I shouldn't be alive. I'm trying to make it short. It's a miracle that I'm here. I was in a coma. I was suspected, like, dead, that I wouldn't wake up from the coma. And so when I woke up, everyone was like, you're such a miracle. And I just thought, dear Lord, this is even more of a burden that I'm not living in your way. And I know the truth. And everyone's expecting me to be like, after I, you know, was out of the car accident and the Lord saved my life, I have never gone back to the life of sin. And I wasn't experiencing this. And I know now that it was because I didn't know how to study. I didn't know how to have that connection, that deep, close connection. And so people knew how I was raised, and they knew, and I felt so inadequate. And my husband, praise the Lord, started continuing to listen to Pastor Ivor's sermons on Audioverse and everything, and he would be like, babe, you don't even know, listen to this one. And I would be listening to it, and it was like I would follow, but then it would kind of get either too deep or I don't know what. Satan would just get in my mind, and I wouldn't focus. So I knew that I needed to know how to study. And so then when we had camp meeting up at Gladstone, Atante and Pastor Ivers were like, are you guys coming? We're having Army Bible Camp. And I was like, he's going to go, but I can't. I'm a nanny, and I work full-time, and the family that I'm nannying for is having a week off before that week. So I'm not going to work. The income isn't there. He's not working that much. He's in construction, and now because of the economy, he barely has work. So I was like, I'm sorry, there's impossible. And Pastor Ivor was like, okay, pray about it. So my husband tells me this one day, we need to just kneel down, you need to ask. You don't know if they're going to say no if you don't ask. So we'll just pray. So I was like, and he's like, listen, let's pray right here with Leo. Amen. We prayed, and I got this calm, like this peace over me. And I called them. It was the weekend. They were coming back, the family that I nanny for, they're coming back from some camping trip somewhere, the dad is like, well, you know, we're having the week before, we're going to be at the cabin, so I'm going to be out of town. Obviously, he flies around a lot. And so then he's like, there's no way really, blah, blah, blah. And so then I was like, oh, okay, well, I was just wondering, blah, 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 blah. And so then Johnny's like, you just totally count where you need to explain to him that you need to go someplace. And I said, so I called right back. I said, you know what? I prayed about it. And I said, and I just need for you to check just to see if anybody could take those last 2 days. I work 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. I said, I need Wednesday and Thursday off because we would be driving down to California on Tuesday. He's like, 2 days, so half the work week. Okay, I'll try. I was like, if you can't, that's fine. I'll be fine with it. And I said, but please, I've been praying and I kind of know that you're going to find someone. He's like, okay, I'll get back to you. So then I was like, and I called my pastor's wife and I'm like, oh my goodness. And then Johnny told me, let's pray. And then, and I've already asked. And she said, you tell me the moment the Lord answers that prayer, because I know he will. And I said, I have this feeling like the Holy Spirit is impressing upon me to register. She said, register in faith. And I said, all right. And she said, and think about it. If the Lord doesn't want you there, or if for some reason that's not your time for you to go, then someone less fortunate can take that money or whatever that you can't get back or whatever that you already put in. So I said, all right. And I was all excited. And I go over to Johnny and I was like, I'm going to register. And so he's like, okay. I go, spaces are filling up. I'm going to register right now. He's like, okay, register. So I registered and then we start working. Like, I go back to work and then I don't hear anything. And they're like, oh, there's some cousins coming in from LA, la la la. They might, you know, want to take care of the kids. We don't know. She has an internship, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, still praying. I'm like, all right, not getting discouraged. And then I think it was on Wednesday. He's like, did you hear? I go, did I hear what? He goes, we found somebody, the first person that we asked, our cousins, her internship, it was pushed back and blah, 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 and they would love to come and watch the kids. And I was like, yes, I told you, Jason. And he looks at me, he goes, now you can make the arrangements. I was like, I already did. And he goes, like thinking I was going to leave them without a childcare, you know, person. And I was like, no. I mean, I told you, I was praying about it and the Lord impressed upon my heart. They're not Christian. So I was like, I'm, and he was like, really? I go, he's like, the arrangements are already set. I was like, yes. And from him going, from just it being my husband going, my sister-in-law, Carmen, gave her testimony last night. Her husband spoke to her, and we got together, and my brother's younger sister came, my sister came, and it became this whole thing. My parents are here so that both of my sisters can come and attend. They're watching the kids at home. So it's just been a blessing. It went from my husband being the only one to be able to make it to that. And it's just, it's so exciting how you see what now in hindsight, the way every single thing that, like the chess moves that the Lord was putting there way before he was all thinking, oh, this is going to happen. I'm going to put this here. And it's just amazing because now I know how to study, how to have that close relationship. And there's, nothing's going to be the same. I can just, it's such an amazing, I know many of you know the feeling that I'm going through right now, but we just met a lot of people that are up in Portland, like Carmen was explaining. And it's so beautiful that it's not just here that we're being blessed and like in our own personal lives, but we can bring it back to Portland. And we're so excited and we're trying to think of how we can make it. So it doesn't end here. This is just the beginning. And praise the Lord, please keep us in your prayers, Portland. Thank you.
Amen. That was like 10 minutes, but that was good. Amen.
I'm just going to put my watch away. I just could not stop her. At this time, we're going to have Robert come up.
Aloha, how you guys doing? My name is Robert, but my family calls me BJ, so all of you guys can call me BJ, right? Well, 9 years ago, I started a reggae band back home in Hawaii. Since I was a young kid, I've always wanted to be someone famous. And as we speak right now, my band is, we have the number one selling album in Hawaii. The number one reggae album on iTunes. But to make a long story short, you know, we open up for some of the world's most famous people right now. But the Lord showed me and told me that I need to leave this band right now as this. And he told me I needed to leave it in steps. So I told my band that I need to leave and I can't play music anymore on the Sabbath, Friday nights and Saturdays. And my band immediately shut me out. These are my brothers I've known for 9 years, and they don't talk to me anymore, but it's okay.
You got new friends here.
Amen. Remember, you're my family, not my friends. Praise God. But so I told them I can't play anymore on Sabbath. And like I said, they shut me out. And then after meeting June 11th, I was rebaptized into the faith, Seventh-day Adventist faith, through one of Brother Taj's evangelist meetings in Hawaii. And soon after that, someone had told me about AFCO, so I'm planning on going to AFCO in January, but pray for me. But so I told my band that, you know, I told myself that I was going to give it time to let the band know that I was actually going to be leaving in January and I won't be playing for them anymore. I'm the lead vocalist in the band. I write all the music. I arrange all the music, so they're struggling. but, you know, then the Lord told me, you know, you have to leave in January. So I'm like, okay, I got some time. This is back in June. I got some time. That same week, still praying with my friends, my family here, and they told me, well, the Lord told me the next morning that, you know, you have to leave the band this week. And so I wrote a letter, and I left the band. I'm no longer with All Natural. But pray for me as I'll be praying for you guys.
I think of the law of thermodynamics that Pastor Myers talked about, and I believe God's going to use him mightily for his cause. At this time, I'd like to invite Cecilia to come on up. I met her when she drove in, and she was just praising the Lord.
Yeah. Praise the Lord! You guys see me, 2009 is in a good shape. When you guys see me, was 2007 woman retreat, I'm a dead person. I'm a dead person, dead, gone. Now you guys see me in a good shape. For I claim God's word since 2007 until now. That's why I'm a new person, still alive. Because I claim Hebrew all the time and sing praises to God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So believe it. My problem is up to here. It's a murder. Praise the Lord that on top of here, there's Almighty God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I just, from the Sacramento, of course, spend big money there, donate. And I don't have money, okay? I only survive with $400 every month and work for 10 years. But don't get paid, okay? Work a slave. And the steal from the chan. And what the chan have is from Almighty God. And what come to the chan is back to Almighty God for the work of Almighty God. And for the poor and homeless. For the chan come from the poor and homeless, and the chan know how the poor and homeless suffer. And then I don't have to come for this one because I talked to Kelvin. Oh, I don't want to blow my budget. I got no money. Kelvin is so nice. He don't know me at all.
Mike Martin.
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. Okay. He don't know me. And I say, hey, I come from Southern California, Lomina too. Your 901 is Southern California. How come you say you are from Washington? He said, oh, because I borrowed my friend's phone. He was so nice and so loving. He don't know me, and you know I got problem up to here. He pray for me. I tell you, say, I'm not coming because I don't want to blow my budget. I have to take care. Although I said partnership got never run out. And then he said, I pray for you. I hope you can come. This is good. And I'm stubborn. I don't want because I say I got no money. And then I said, pray. I have court case. They steal my money. I have court case. And no attorney, no nothing. Only Almighty God, my attorney. And then he prayed for me. And then I don't care. I said, I'm not going. That's it. I can stay home and stay out of trouble. And my budget won't be blow. I read the Bible by myself. Then when I read the Bible, the Revelation chapter 16. Oh my, it's about the seven angels. And God tell me, you go. There's a lot of things to learn from the Bible. I said, okay, Almighty God, you want me to go? I go. Right away, last minute, I call. I say, I'm coming because God want me to. And I said, but how come so expensive? I bring my camping tent. I sleep on the camping tent. He said, you by yourself, your camping tent costs more money. It's going to cost you more than $200. You just pay $195 and I put you a partner. I said, okay, partner. Okay, so $100. And I so didn't bring. Then, he is so nice. Said, if you can't book, I help you to book. And then after that, I asked him, do you know anyone from San Francisco need a ride? Oh yeah, a brother from Washington need a ride. I said, go answer prayer. I said, oh yeah, go answer prayer, miracle. And then that brother, I don't know him, go San Francisco airport, I pick him by 9:30. I say, how are we going to know him, that brother? And I said, oh, I know. San Francisco that day, that will be the only silver Mercedes. And then for make sure, you will see a final event DVD. Final event DVD. Okay? So you will know that for sure. Because all the time I go everywhere with final event DVD, English, Spanish, or whatever. For God's sake, I want you to be my messenger. I said, God, I'm weak, I'm sick, I got no money. Okay, the chant partnership never run out. Okay, so pick him up. Then the navigator want to lead me to come here from airport, supposed to last like 1 hour. I don't know, pew, don't work. And then, Almighty God, I pick my Christian brother, he's a stranger at the airport, get to outreach. Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And then later, really shame, and God, no. Get a sheriff to pick that Christian brother to come here and lost the way, and he look at the map to lead me how to come here. It take us 3 hours, 6 minutes for we say, oh, not in a hurry, full tank, want to see scenery. Then really go one big round and see scenery. And then when we come here that time, we are car walk in. I said, whoo, this tall guy, I look at the name, oh, by the name of David? I said, there's a Bible, the King David. I said, what? And I look, there's a president. Oh, there's a president out there to welcome people. I said, oh my, the president even welcome and pray and give us water. And he said, this is the first one. I said, it will be a success. And then after that, when our car come, another one down there, wave. I said, oh my, they are so organized. They wave, say, come here, this is the place to register. I said, oh my, they are well organized. It's a success. I said, will be many more to come. I said, oh my, then I drive the... I'm a good driver, but very bad direction, always get lost until God has to send someone from Washington to lead me. And then, until I drive here, that one, hey, this is the place to register, come in. And then I look at that fellow and say, you are Cecilia Chan? I said, oh yeah, I'm Cecilia Chan. He said, oh, welcome. Then I said, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I said, we'll be a success. So we register. And then I said, praise the Lord. I don't want to come and God want me to come because God knows that September 1st, another court case in the court still have to fight the good fight of faith. And Almighty God said, you need all this army, armed Christian soldier marching as to war. So need all this army, pray. September 1st, all those money and properties belong to Almighty God and belong to everyone and belong to the poor and homeless. Don't belong to the world. Don't belong to the devil, please. And of course, I pray that Almighty God will soften the heart of those sons. Five sons, they are doctor and lawyer, have a lot of money, still from the Chan. I said, no problem, Almighty God. It's about money and property, which is going to burn down. And the Chan is about the love of God, about being a living witness for Almighty God. And forgive me, Lord, that that time I want to drive and fly down the Golden Gate Bridge to kill myself, for I don't want to see the yucky world. I want to see you. And my handyman is here. I have 4 or 5 handymen. He said, don't kill yourself on the Golden Gate Bridge. I said, yeah, I said, God, forgive me. I'm not being a good messenger. I sin against you. Please forgive me and soften the heart of that they make things right. Don't steal my share. So all for the glory of Almighty God. So I thank God. Praise God for this army camp. Pray.
Amen.
Amen. I specifically remember speaking with Cecilia because I had a gentleman and he needed someone to pick him up in the San Francisco airport. And I have a friend who's coming from that area, but I could not get a hold of her. And after I'd spoken with her, she says, "Is anyone need a ride?" So that was an answer to prayer. So I praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
But I have to ask you a question. I'm 35, and sometimes I feel like I'm 55. Where do you get your energy?
Almighty God! Almighty God!
Praise the Lord!
Amen!
Praise the Lord!
Amen! Amen!
Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
We're so glad you're here with us, Cecilia. I heard Marlena came in. Could we have Marlena come to the front, please?
Really quick, I'll just tell you how excited I was to come. I heard about Army from a really good friend of mine. She sent me an email. I went on the website, looked it up. It was back in March when there wasn't much going on the website. It was just one page. No registration information, no time, speakers, or anything like that. Well, they had the speakers, but not the schedule. So there was one number on there, David Stewart's number. So I called because I was really excited about coming. I wanted to know exactly when registration was going to open up because I didn't want to miss the opportunity. So I called David Stewart. He gave me, said, "We'll check the website and, a little while we'll have it up." He was really nice. He was really nice. Told me to check back on the website and they'll have it going up soon. So I was so excited about it. I prayed about it. I said, "Lord, of course you want me to go to something like this. I had been wanting something like this for quite a while now." And I literally checked almost every day. Every day until I registered, which was 2 months later. So that's how excited I was about it. So when registration finally opened up, I said, "You know what? I'm going to do it." I even signed up my boyfriend, who was kind of unsure if he was going to be able to come. I said, "You know what? We're both going to come because this is going to be a really big blessing." And it has been a really big blessing, and I am thankful for, my friend Sue Lee, who I'm sure everybody knows by now, had told me about it, and just for God bringing this entire thing together, and may we all go back refreshed and excited about studying the Word of God, and may we keep each other in prayer.
Amen. Beautiful. Thank you. We're going to have one more testimony by Melissa Miranda, and as she comes up here, I just want to let you know, I've known her for a few years. Excuse me, back in February, there was a prayer summit down in Georgia at Cohutta Springs. And I went there. She was also able to make it. During the weekend, they had a prayer cover team, a team of people on a rotating schedule praying throughout the whole day, praying for each of the speakers, and we just sensed God's presence. And we wanted to do something similar. We couldn't do exactly the same thing, but we had a team praying for each speaker before they presented. And during the breaks, Melissa was in the back, on her knees, praying. And for those of you who have been here in the mornings, you've been blessed as she has led out. And I just want her to share just a short testimony.
I didn't know I was coming here till about a week ago. And the Lord had to make it clear that my motives were right to come, that the finances would come through, and someone donated money, and I got a scholarship here, and I praise God. I thought I would be just sitting there, over there, and then Calvin said, "Well, can you at least pray?" And I was like, "Sure." And, I thought, just being out in the back and praying. And that's what we did for each speaker. But then the Lord impressed upon me to pray in between speakers, breaks, which I did, and during lunch and everything, and I was praying for all of you. And where's Brian? Brian's in the back. He's packing. Well, tell him this. I'd be praying in the back, and I would hear his voice, and I'd be always praying for him. And it was a blessing. And I just wanted to share with you that on Wednesday afternoon, Brother Martin says, "Melissa, come on, let's go. Let's recruit people for 6:15 a.m. Prayer meeting."
No, for the 4.
Oh, sorry, for the 4 p.m. We had a 4 p.m. first. So we went around, just going around and recruiting people to come. And we had about 20 people that came, and it was such a blessing. And that small group of 20, we told them, we have a 6:15 a.m. Prayer meeting, why don't you come out? And that Wednesday night, Martin and I, well, Martin decided not to tell anybody that, like the general crowd, except those 20 people, about the 6:15 a.m. And his reasoning was, well, you know, it's hard enough to get them out at 7 o'clock, so let's not overwhelm them with 6:15. But the next morning, Friday, on Thursday morning, there was about 20 people that showed up, and then we opened it up more, and we prayed, and then Friday morning, there was 40 people. Now, again, like I told you, I thought I was just going to be praying out there, and Martin led out on Wednesday and Thursday, and then he said, Melissa, do you think you can lead out? And I was like, okay, and so... you never know with God, and, you know, being a missionary, you have to be flexible. And so the Lord blessed, though. So Friday morning, we had 40 people. And then Sabbath morning, we, Martin and I, were praying for, I don't know how many, about 100 people, and 80 showed up. And it was such a blessing. And then this morning, and I think some of you heard this already, this morning the Lord woke me up 2:30 in the morning. And I said, okay, Lord, I guess I should pray. And he's like, I want you to pray. So I started to pray, thinking I'm going to fall asleep, as we all do. And I began to pray, and the Lord impressed upon me to share a testimony, which I can't get into, but other people are here to hear that. And I also began to pray for God to wake everybody up. I said, Lord, wake them up. And so I was kept praying that, and the next thing you know it, my roommate's alarm clock went off, and it was 5 a.m. already. And it was such a wonderful, sweet 2.5 hours with the Lord. And I just really encourage all of you to spend that time with the Lord. And then I started to go, I just started hearing people getting up. I was like, wow. And then I started walking over here, and as I was walking by all of your doors, like, Lord, wake them up. And then we got here, and then I don't know how many people showed up. We never counted. But it was such a blessing. And it is so encouraging to know that when you pray, you're praying the Holy Spirit prayers when someone comes up to you and says, your answers have been prayed. And a lady came up to me, and her name is Alice, and she said, you know, I just want to tell you that your prayers were answered. She said, I woke up this morning, and I was like, why am I waking up so early? And, you know, it's 6:15 a.m., so you think, you know, 5:30, 5 a.m. He woke her up at 4:30 a.m., and she had time to worship and still have time to take a shower with no one in there. And she said someone else in her prayer group said, this gentleman said, I don't know who it was, and said, yeah, God woke me up really early this morning too. And I'm not sure how many people came out this morning. So praise God. Yeah. Yeah, did he wake you up a little bit early? Yeah. So I just want to encourage you to bring this prayer, type of prayer, back as a group, you know. And if you've never been out to any of these, ask the people who have been. Conversational prayers have been powerful. And one lady I met in the washroom, and I forgot her name, she says, Melissa, I felt the difference here, and I want to tell the leaders here, the difference here at this army camp was the brotherly love that she felt, especially during that prayer meeting at 6:15. She says, we were in one accord. And she says, and this is how it should be everywhere in our church. Amen. So I just, please bring this back. And also your there you are. And also your personal prayer. And the unceasing prayer that Sister White talks about, where she says we should have I'm not quoting verbatim, but unceasing prayer, where that we would have an unbroken communion with our soul, bound and united to the divine heart, that divinity, all the time, 24/7. Yeah. And I don't know if that's your prayer, but that is my prayer. Have unceasing prayer. Yield your soul up to heaven at all times, and he will be the domain in your heart, and we will be Christ-like, and he will finally come. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Melissa. Next year, we're definitely going to have her come back. We're going to have a group together praying in the morning, praying that everybody would wake up. I just want to add one more point. You know, I think about the offering that came in yesterday, over $34,000. We could have never pulled that off. That was something the Lord did. Amen. And he answers when his people pray. So I just want to finish on that note.